With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now in the Corn Roof Podcast, a sports podcast from Belly Up Sports and the Belly Up Podcast Network. Here is your host, Jared Clinton.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Corner Booth Podcast. I'm your host, Jared Klim. Alongside my sidekick, Mr. Mustachio, a.k.a. Kevin. We have a big show today. We are talking NFL. We are talking college. And me and Kev are back to true form with our horrible picks this week. Even Pat shot like shit this week. So it must have been the Halloween spirits. Oh, by the way, on Friday, guys and girls, there is going to be a lot of, we're going to be doing some Halloween themed stuff because, you know, why not? We always do a Christmas one, some Christmas themed stuff every year anyway. So might as well do it for Halloween. But got trade deadline coming up. We already got a trade in the books this morning from the Cowboys and Lions. And we got some injuries and some unfortunate news for one all pro or possibly, no, let's say top five wide receiver. All right, Kev, first off, Monday Night Football last night was just, I wouldn't say boring, but
no, you can say boring.
Yeah, it was boring. I mean, the Rams offense isn't as entertaining as it was like in 17. They still win games, but I think it's weird. Like the Bears, I think Nick Foles just plays well against bad teams and Tom Brady. That's it.
Yeah.
My only thoughts is game one, Johnny Hecker is still the best punter in football. No question. That man can drop it inside the five like an on-demand pay-per-view. Right in. Jalen Ramsey is still an elite cornerback. Aaron Donald's still an elite defensive tackle. And Eddie Jackson and those boys on that Chicago Bears defense are for real. Unfortunately, their quarterback is not for real. So, yeah, that's basically it on Monday Night Football. I really honestly looked at I watched the game. I watched, like the short cut of the game because I watched about half of it and I passed out because I was so tired last night. Also, you know, I had screen here, Rocket League on the TV. And, yeah, I was not impressed by either team. I mean, like, LA is a legitimate contender right now. Chicago does not scare me at the least, but the problem is the team they play behind that's behind them in the standings or ahead. I don't even know how you, yeah, behind them in the standings or ahead now because they only have one loss. The Packers are the one team that I think that could struggle with Chicago because Chicago is physical and Green Bay is not. If Green Bay makes some moves at the deadline, which I've heard they've been snooping around Broad Street for a couple of pass catchers, then we're talking about a different situation. But at the same time, right now, I don't know. The NFC North is just an odd division to me because now the Lions are 3-3. So they're like, I mean, they're not, unless like a miracle happens, they're not probably winning the division. But they could probably catch Chicago, I think, because Green Bay's schedule is pretty easy for next like couple games or so until they have to play a rough stretch at the end of the year. But I don't know, this game to me basically just said, okay, yeah, the NFC West is loaded like we thought they were going to be.
Yeah, but I mean, also, you talked about the Bears' defense being good, but the quarterback position being garbage. I don't think it's the quarterbacks the issue. I think it's Matt Nagy.
Well, I did see also something today. The play calling was hysterical. Like, the play calling always felt weird to me at a lot of points. I feel like if I'm Nagy, I would go to what made Foles successful in Philadelphia. RPOs, quick throws, slant down the field. They don't have bad receivers. Like, Anthony Miller, Allen Robinson, they're not bad. That's honestly better than half the crap that Wentz threw to last year or some of the stuff that I've seen Brady throw to. So, I mean, Foles can make it work. I guess the play calling, I do see your point with Nagy, though, because I feel like he still is almost maybe McVaying it a little bit, where he's throwing too much and not just simplifying it for a quarterback who, let's be honest, Nick Foles is just basically a gunslinger. There is not a lot of cerebral to his game. It's see ball, throw, see target, throw ball, hit target. That's basically Foles' game. So, I mean...
No, I mean, but it's play calling, but also I do feel like I think taking Mitch at 2 is way too high, but I think obviously he has some skill. He was still projected as a first rounder.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a little, and so I do think that if they're going to go through getting a new quarterback this offseason, they need to fire Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. If they're going to look into keeping Mitch and seeing if he develops, they need to fire Matt Nagy.
So you're saying Matt Nagy could be the first Andy Reid disciple to be a failure at head coach? Like, the first, like, legitimate failure. Like, there have been guys that were kind of like, eh, but, like, Nagy's really been like...
Yes, and is Nagy, was he an offensive coordinator before?
I think he was a quarterback's coach. I'm not even sure. Because he came from, I don't know where he came from. He came from the Reid tree. I just don't know how. I could check right now. But
pulling up,
I do see your point where it turns into...
Yeah, he was offensive quality control coach in Philly for 2011 to 12, quarterbacks coach in Kansas City 2013 to 15, offensive coordinator 2016 to 17, and then now head coach of the Bears, obviously. He should not be this bad with that background.
True, and it's not his bad weapons either.
I don't get how he has a job, honestly.
We may have found the first bad apple.
Yeah, it's just
embarrassing.
I hate you.
I'm sorry, I had to make the dad joke with staring me in the face. Yeah, no, that's basically all I got for this game. I mean, honestly... It was kind of underwhelming. Like, last week was crazy because, you know, we're talking about the downfall of the Cowboys, and this week it's just like, oh, the Bears still stink and the record's a fake.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? There are a lot of teams who play better than the records, and there are a lot of teams that play a lot worse than the records.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's hysterical. Like, the Patriots are a better team than their record. So is Philadelphia. So is Detroit. There's a lot of teams I can honestly say on one or two possession games that should have gotten the W. Atlanta's worse than their record. They only have one win. So there you go. All right, we're going to kick it off with one sentence game because I feel like this show is dragging at the speed of that Monday Night Football game last night. Here we go. All right, first off, Thursday Night Football, Eagles-Giants. Eagles should have lost that game because they kept giving it away, but Carson pulls his fourth quarter magic, and there you go.
Thanks for doing this while I'm doing something.
Sorry.
What game is it?
Philly, New York.
Can we just have two teams from the NFC West go in?
Thanks for the most lukewarm take that's been on Twitter all day.
Like I said, I'm doing stuff.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Lions and Falcons. The best part is that, oh my God, the Falcons found a way to blow this one by scoring a touchdown. That's the most Atlanta way to blow a game.
even when the Falcons are scoring, it's at the wrong time.
Also, side sentence, Kenny Galladay is a freaking animal. He just put AJ Tyrell on a poster and it was hysterical. You want to do first for Browns and Bengals?
You can do it.
All right. Well, that was impressive. Sort of. Not really. I mean, Browns fans are like, we're five and two. And I'm just like, yeah. It took a 1 in 100 throw. So congrats. If you look at the instant replays, I watched that touchdown to Donovan Peoples-Jones live. If the cornerback for Cincinnati closes his hands a half an inch, that's an interception. The game's over. So I don't know. I still think the Browns are a phony, a big fat phony. But yeah, no, it was just Browns fans are obnoxious.
I mean, Baker showed up in the fourth for once.
True.
So he has that going for him, I guess.
I didn't see a single Baker Mayfield commercial this weekend. It was a nice weekend.
That's why he did well in the fourth.
There you go. The book club one pissed me. That was just stupid. I'm like, come on, man. Really? All right. I did like how I had one of his offensive linemen in it with him. That was cool.
Jedrick Wills.
Yes. All right. Steelers and Titans. I watched this whole game from end to end. The Steelers got so damn lucky. Holy mother of God. Steelers almost blow another one. They're the luckiest undefeated team I've ever seen.
Is it better to be lucky or smart?
Lucky.
It's a little Zombieland reference for you. Yeah. Look, to be undefeated at this point in a season, or even to make the playoffs halftime, you need to be lucky. You need to catch lucky breaks, a bad call your way, a lucky like, there's no way that any team who has ever won the Super Bowl didn't have a little luck along the way.
Fair. No, I completely agree. And it was weird. I watched it. This is the game I watched probably the most besides Philadelphia, New York. And the biggest thing I saw was, yeah, the Pittsburgh Steelers shut down Derrick Henry for most of the game. But they couldn't cover A.J. Brown. Like, they couldn't cover the number one receiver on anything they've played previously. Having Mike Hilton was killing them. Chase Claypool had negative yards receiving. That's scary. Or at least negative fantasy points. And the craziest thing was, Kevin, is it came down to your boy, your former boy, Guskowski, shanking one Florida State style to the right. It's just like, and this brings you back, because this is like they smacked Cleveland last weekend. But the weekend before, it was Jim Schwartz forgetting to tell Rodney McLeod to slide over on coverage. And the week before, like, they keep getting these lucky wins. I mean, I agree with you, though. I still think they're my AFC pick right now. But at the same time, it's like, I'm waiting for that luck to run out. Let's just hope it doesn't, for them, their sake at least, doesn't run out in January. It runs out in December, and then it restarts. But, yeah, that was a good. It was a fun game to watch. I still think the Titans are the second-best team in the AFC.
Yeah, I think they're dismantling. And I know the Bills don't look like the same team now, but their dismantling of the Bills just, I think, cemented that.
And then how hard the Bills played the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean, I would still put – so if we were going to do AFC power rankings, we're like time, right, fast, quick, it'd be 1 Pittsburgh, 2 Tennessee, 3 Kansas City, 4 Buffalo, 5 Baltimore. You could put 4 and 5, flip them. It kind of varies. I throw like Oakland in there as like 6 or 7, possibly I wouldn't put Cleveland in there, honestly. I wouldn't.
No.
God, Cleveland. All right, so bear in mind, Cleveland plays Philadelphia in 3 or 4 weeks. And when I was talking to my buddy who's a Giants fan, he goes, "So are you worried about the Cleveland game?" I'm like, "No, I'm worried about Arizona. We play New Orleans in Philadelphia, so there's a little bit of a slight less home field advantage for them. and then we play Green Bay in Green Bay. I'm worried about Green Bay, and I'm worried about Arizona. I am not worried about Cleveland as much as much as the record should entail. It's because Cleveland is the fakest 5-2 team in the league besides Chicago. Also, you get pressure on Baker, he gets useless. He becomes useless, and that's the one thing Philadelphia can actually do is get pressure. So,
I think Cleveland's a faker 5-2 team than freaking Chicago. Sorry. I'm just trying to do like five things at once. But no, I think they're 5-2 team because at least with Chicago, they have a very good defense. The Browns don't. I'm still kind of confused how they got to 5.
They have the best personnel I've ever seen, but they can't stop anybody. I mean, yeah, they have Miles Garrett still is playing at an all-pro level, but for what the talent they have on that defense, they should be so much better.
Yeah, I don't know. I also just don't trust Cleveland. I was very high on them last year, and they disappointed me.
Yeah. All right, Saints-Panthers. I don't know what this says more. Are the Panthers competitive, or do the Saints play down the competition?
I think it's the Saints playing down to competition. I don't think they're a very good team. But Teddy Bridgewater's legit.
I would say so. I'm on with this game, like what really stretches out to me is like what happened to the secondary of the New Orleans Saints? You had two former Pro Bowlers in that secondary that are still there. Three if you count Malcolm Jenkins. And I'm just sitting there like, what's going on? I also feel like with all the Mike Thomas stuff doesn't help in the sideline. But I mean, the Saints keep sneaking by with these lucky wins. So, I don't know. Our boy Cruz could probably defend them for days. But if you want my Oscar opinion with the Saints, it's like they're like Tampa Bay is just stomping past them in the division. And they're just – and now they got AB. It's like, okay. New Orleans is like, crap, we're screwed.
I think AB is going to play like – 4 weeks, and then a court decision is going to come out in the league and suspend him again.
Yeah, well, I mean, we can play over under on that one. All right, I'm going to say 5 weeks he's going to get away until something stupid happens. But this isn't New England though, so they probably would wait to cut him.
I don't know. Bruce Arians said he didn't. So Bruce Arians really weird. He said, we don't want him, we're not signing him, we don't want him. And then it comes out, oh, Tom Brady really wanted him. And then Bruce Arians comes out, no, it wasn't because of Tom. We just wanted to sign. Like, that makes no sense.
I think that everyone's like, oh, Tampa Bay's going to the Super Bowl. I'm like, no, they're not. Tampa Bay's going to win regular season games because you can get away with having bad chemistry between a coach and a quarterback during the regular season. No question. And Brady's the consummate professional. I think this is going to affect them once you get into the playoffs because then you're going to get into a tight game with a Arizona or with a Seattle, and you're going to have to like go Brady and Aaron's going to be arguing on the sideline. It could lead to another Tennessee debacle. So I don't trust Tampa Bay. I think they're going to win the NFC South. I think the NFC South is the second weakest division in the NFL. I think if Philadelphia ends up coming out with a winning record, I honestly could take the NFC East over because I think the Giants are better than their record. I just think Daniel Jones is holding that roster back. I swear to God. I mean, their receiving core is not bad.
What? Their line's still not good.
Oh, yeah, their line. I mean, no Saquon. Jones is okay. With Saquon, if they had Saquon in the lineup, I think they would honestly be like a 7-win.
Yeah, but the quarterback coach issue thing, people are going to point this out there because Tom Brady and the Bill Belichick issues allegedly started in 2017 when Bill wanted to chip off Tom and keep Garoppolo, and Kraft said no, but they also had almost 20 years together and could get over it and then won another Super Bowl.
Yeah. The problem is with also in New England, you know this because you are a New England fan, is that half the stuff that comes out between Belichick and Brady and everything else, with most organizations where there's smoke, there's fire. With Brady and Belichick, there was smoke, and then there's just nothing. or there's fire but no smoke. So, I don't know. I think with Tampa, I think this is going to be a little more telling. We'll see as the season goes on.
Yeah, but also, I mean,
they beat a very good Oakland team badly on Sunday. So,
and it's also not like they have – like, it's just Tom Brady doing Tom Brady things. He's had a decent year, but he's not done anything phenomenal. 18 touchdowns, 4 interceptions is good, but he's just – it's their line's phenomenal. They have, I think, a top 5 pass-protecting line and a top 12 run line. And then their defense is outperforming everyone's expectations. Their defense is winning them games, and I think that's – it's not going to matter. If their defense keep doing that, they can easily –
Also, Todd Bowles as a defensive coordinator is just top-notch. Like, as much as he was not a great head coach, I think – and then again, I don't think anybody can really succeed in New York right now. Todd Bowles is a phenomenal defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
All right, next up on the list, we've got the Bills and the Jets. Speaking of New York, my sentence is simply, did they drug the Bills for the first couple of quarters?
I think the Bills are pushing to be one of the fakest 5-2 teams with Chicago and Cincinnati or Cleveland. That defense isn't great. They had high expectations. They're not special. Josh Allen's falling back to earth a little bit.
So who the hell wins the AFC East?
Because it's going to be the Bills.
They'll probably screech into the AFC, into the playoffs. But just, oh, God.
Unless Tua goes off, it's going to be the Bills.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Cowboys versus the Washington football team. Pray for Andy Dalton's forehead.
It's DiNucci time.
Yo, all the things on TikTok I saw today with the Italian music with... Instead of Trace McSorley, the song, I was laughing my ass off. I couldn't believe how funny that shit was. And you know what's crazy? He played with my boy Rob's brother at JMU. Honestly, though, Jerry, time to blow it up, man. Tank for Fields.
Also, never trust an FCS quarterback.
I'm going to ignore that one. All right. Also, one more thing. Just, oh, my God. Yeah, just blow it up. Trade Zeke. Trade Cooper. Trade Gallup. Just start getting picks. Go full Sawyer Collins. Trade your entire starting lineup if you can. All right. Promote an entire practice squad plus. All right, Packers and Texans. Yeah, this is kind of what I expected, but Darren Fells, screw you. 0 fantasy points? Are you kidding me? That's also my fault for not having a backup tight end, so.
That's fair. Devontae Adams might be a top 5 receiver.
Die on that mountain. Texans have no secondary.
That's actually true. I jumped the gun a little bit. Ignore that. It was a question. It was not a statement.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, if he did that to like a Byron Jones or a like, you know, like a tier 2 cornerback or like at least like a serviceable starter, I'd be like, all right, fine. But
I think at this point, Packers fans have me so hard on that bandwagon. That he could do that to Jalen Ramsey, and I'd be like, not top 5.
Yeah, my boy Darius Slay's PF, like his stats rating is like he hasn't given up 55 yards plus to any receiver yet this league through 7 games, and I'm like bragging about it. I'm like, yeah, but you know the other cornerback slot sucks in Philly, and I'm like, oh, he takes on Adams. But also the thing with Devontae Adams is the one thing that bugs me is he's a good receiver. But also, Aaron Rodgers is balling out this year. He made like the Packers fans start bragging about Alan Lazard, who's just disappeared.
Yeah, because he's injured.
Exactly. He disappeared.
Just like every single Packers receiver.
Every single Eagles receiver. All right. Next up. Oh, by the way, enjoying a phenomenal beer. Staycation by Black Hawk Brewing. Took Kevin and my cuz there for the first time on Saturday. That was a great. That was fun. Also, that was a weekend. Amazing pizza.
Oh, that was so good.
Cajun bacon. All right. Buccaneers and Raiders. I honestly wanted to watch this game more than the game I got on for the late game. But, yeah. Bucs are good. Raiders, I think, is so good. I think just the Bucs just smack the daylights out of them. The Bucs are hot. That's what was going to happen.
Tom Brady, the GOAT.
Simple, plain, easy. Works. All right, cool. Broncos, Chiefs. Anybody who thought this game was going to be close is an absolute moron. It was snowing and Mahomes still lit them up. Like, come on, man. I'm really regretting my Broncos playoff pick.
Yeah, Mahomes didn't light them up.
He played okay.
Yeah, the Chiefs lit him up. 200 yards and a touchdown?
Yeah, that's true. I think it was more of the running game. Yeah, kickoff return, rushing touchdown. INT return. Yeah. All four rushing touchdowns from four different players. So, yeah, no, I'm sorry. The Chiefs lit them up.
That's fair.
All right.
Where are you seeing four rushing touchdowns?
Oh, three. Sorry, I miscounted. I accidentally counted the kick return.
I'm seeing two.
I thought I said three. Unless I counted Sorensen, which I didn't think I could. All right, so Edwards-Helaire.
And Chad Henne.
Oh, shit, that's it. All right, wow. Oh, yep, Tyreek Hill was a pass. I misread that. All right, cool.
Time to start Chad Henne. Mahomes just doesn't have it this year. One drive, one score.
It's efficiency, folks. All right, Kev, I'll let you cut the pain quickly here. 49ers, Patriots.
Blow it up. Trade everyone.
It's twice in a one-sentence game. It's dark today. Yeah. I'm sorry, Pats fans. You know what? I was rooting really hard for the Pats this year just because of Cam Newton, because I wanted to see him succeed. But I don't know, man. I thought they had a shot because, like, Oakland's not a bad team by any stretch, and they kicked their butt. But then you take on the Niners who lost to Philadelphia and Miami. I don't know. I mean,
they lost to Philly. They didn't have their starting quarterback.
Yeah, but then they lost to Miami, and the same starting quarterback got benched. So I don't know. The 49ers make no sense to me at all. I've given up trying to understand them as an offense. I think Kyle Shanahan literally just throws knives at a dartboard and says, all right, this is what we're doing today.
Fair. Other team can't know what you're doing if you don't know what you're doing.
Fair enough. All right, Jaguars, Chargers. All right, I'm slamming in the flag for the Herbert for Rookie of the Year. It's happening now, and I'm driving this train to the finish line. Four touchdowns over 300 yards passing or four?
347.
I was on the money. 347, three touchdowns, one rushing, 66 yards rushing. Oh, boy, I'm loving this. I love when I get a Rookie of the Year pick close right. I think he's better than Joe Burrow, honestly. But, yeah, I was watching. I got to see a little bit at the end. The kid just looks different. He looks like a pro already, and it's kind of cool to see.
So. I was wrong. I was wrong.
Hey, listen, man. Are you kidding me? I missed hard on Justin Jefferson, so don't take it too hard.
Also, fun fact, I think I saw Justin Herbert is the only other quarterback besides Patrick Mahomes in their first five starts to throw for over 250 yards each game.
That's awesome.
Not bad company.
No, not bad company. Also, guy to watch, James Robinson, the running back for the Jags. Not bad. Also, Minshew Mania is dead in the water.
Yeah, I wonder what quarterback they're drafting.
Derek King for the Miami Hurricanes.
I feel like they'll probably want to take someone in, like, the first two rounds.
True. I think King's a third rounder because he needs it. Somebody's got to fix that release of his.
I think third rounder is still too high for King.
I don't know. It depends on how he finishes the year. Seahawks Cardinals. This was awesome. I freaking loved it. You know, sometimes Sunday football gets it right. This was fun. God, DK Metcalf is just like not human.
Yeah. Packers fans need to calm down. Let me look up the box score. So, for those who don't know, Russell Wilson threw for 3 interceptions in that game. So Packers fans now are saying, like, oh, see, Aaron Rodgers throws 2 interceptions and he's done. But Russell Wilson throws 3 and he still has a chance. Yeah, he throws 3 while also throwing for almost 400 yards and 3 touchdowns.
We hear that if Carson throws 1. So Packers fans, shut the fuck up.
And meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers against the Bucks threw for 160 yards and 2 interceptions. Those are not the same thing.
That's some Andy Dalton numbers right there. Yeah, no. Russell and Kyler are on a different tier to me. That was so much fun to watch, though. But yeah, no. Honestly, though, I think the Packers, it's going to be fun when they play legitimate teams. And I know you love to rip on my Eagles, but they do have the Packers number because the way they play. I can't wait for that game in December, especially the fact that all of our guys are getting healthy somehow. Don't end our bye weeks in a week, and we get the Dallas minor league squad next week. So,
I mean, yeah, it's going to be fun when the Packers play legitimate teams, because when they play legitimate teams, they lose or almost lose every time.
Or get absolutely punched in the mouth and squeak one out by a Mason Crosby field. He's not even there anymore. Who's the kicker now?
I think it's Crosby still.
Jeez, that Miller Heifer is old as hell. All right.
Yeah, but I mean, the Saints, they beat them by a touchdown. The Saints, though, haven't been that good. They beat them by a touchdown when they didn't have Michael Thomas. And then they got blown out by the Bucs.
I don't even know when the hell they're getting Thomas back now, because like now you're hearing about a hamstring injury and trade rumors, and it's just, God, it's just weird. Like, the Mike Thomas situation makes no sense.
No.
All right, so
Sean Payton has said they're not trading him.
I know, but then again, like, I've heard that from other receivers, and they're dealt the next day. So yeah. I don't believe anything anymore. They play the Vikings. That's an easy win. They play the 49ers. I'll still give the Packers the edge unless Raheem Moser goes off again. So
it depends on where Shanahan's knife lands on the dartboard.
Okay, so it is in Candlestick, by the way. Or not Candlestick, Levi Stadium. Jags win. Colts, I don't know. Depends on how Jonathan Taylor's running. So I'll give that a 50-50 toss-up. Bears, depends on how Matt Nagy calls that game. Then they play the Eagles in Lambeau, but that's December. Eagles IR squad will be back by then. I don't know. That one's going to be an interesting one. I want to see the Eagles get the next couple weeks done. They play the Lions, then Panthers, then Titans, then Bears. The Packers' schedule is about to get a lot rougher. They only have 2 gimme games left in the schedule. The game against the Jaguars and the game against the Vikings. Everything else is like 50-50 or 60-40.
Yeah, also that Lions game, the Lions aren't getting blown out by 3 touchdowns again.
No, now that they know how to use DeAndre Swift, I don't think, and they could just eat. The Packers have always struggled. They didn't fix any of their problems in the offseason, and the Lions now have realized that after they getting their ass kicked in the opening game. Also, Kenny Galladay is going to play, so.
Yeah.
All right. Back to us ranting, as we've gone a little off the rails. Last game, Bears-Rams. God, that was boring. That was my sentence.
It was cool to watch Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald.
Fair enough. Arguably the top three pass rushers in the league. I don't know. You could always throw another Myles Garrett in there too.
Joey Bosa.
Do one of those lists on the live stream. I'd love to break that down because pass rushing is weird. Like, because you've got three different positions competing for the same spot. All right, that wraps up for one sentence game. Kev, do you want to just rip the band-aid off now and start talking about our abysmal week?
Just give the point totals and we'll move on.
All right. Well, first off, special shout out to our boy, Mr. Pat Donahue, who will be back, folks. He's going to be coasting with me next week on Tuesday. So we're going to get some live Pat reactions to the trade deadline. It's going to be a fun time. Don't worry, Kevin's not going anywhere. He's got some work obligations he's got to take care of. So final score for the week, your boy, the 3 points. Our guest picker, Pat, with 3 points as well. And then Mr. Kev with 2. Not a great showing for any of us when our combined total is less than 10. It is not a good week when it's 3 pickers.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Me and Kev start off the season 6-5, 7-6, 4-7, 8-6, 2-3, last week 7-4. Oh, my God. Kev, we are all over the place. We are just bad.
I mean, I've kind of returned to average for me.
I mean, my lead's only my lead's only 3.5. It's not like I'm kicking your ass. So, I mean, all right, ready to talk deadline because it's a week away and we're already starting to see some trades and rumors and it's getting crazy.
Yeah. Also, by the way, I feel like by the end of the year, we're both gonna be like, why the hell does Kevin have half a point?
No, I'm going to remember it because I still feel bad. I feel like there was a miscommunication. I shouldn't have, like, given you crap about calling the Eagles as a gimme. And the fact is, I feel like if you actually did call as a gimme, the Eagles would have gotten that typical conversion and you would have lost anyway. So I feel like I kind of screwed myself and my team there, just knowing luck, how it goes. But, I mean, deadline. Dude. Week away, and I'm already hearing things on Twitter. I'm looking through like a lot of NFL insiders. I'm like doing a lot of research. We're already seeing moves now because I think a lot of teams are realizing this is a good draft class for a lot of positions, and a lot of teams are realizing we're done. And they're offloading contracts, and there are some teams that are contenders are just getting rid of bad contracts to get the younger players in. First domino to fall. Dallas Cowboys begin the exodus. Everson Griffin heads to Detroit, getting an edge rusher. I'm okay with it, honestly. You know, you get somebody to help out Lawson. That's Shaq Lawson. That's their guy, right? From Trey Mason. Who's the guy from Pittsburgh, New England? I get always confused.
On Detroit.
Yeah, on Detroit. Who went with Patricia?
It's not Trey Mason, Trey Flowers.
Trey Flowers and Everson Griffin. It's not a bad edge rushing combo. I mean, I don't think Detroit's going to be better than a 10-6 wildcard team, but I think they're still a decent team, especially now that you get Swift and Peterson's a good 1-2 punch with Galladay and Marvin. Marvin Hawkinson, of course, is a very underrated young tight end. I just think the Lions are a good 10-6 team, 9-17. They're going to be like around the thick of it for a wild card. I think this definitely helps, though.
Yeah, I think it's weird that this is the second edge player we've seen moved after being signed or traded for in the offseason.
I think it's weird because those teams are both out of it. The only edge player that got picked up late besides these two was Clowney, and he's staying because Tennessee is a top three team in the league. But It's odd. It is really it's been a weird year, honestly, because you thought I picked the damn Vikings to win the damn division. That went horribly wrong.
Yeah, I'm just confused. I'm really confused about the Griffin trading just because he signed a 1-year contract, so he was off the books in the offseason anyway.
I feel like Jerry's trying to offload. I think Jerry's trying to get draft picks out of it.
But they get a conditional sixth.
I don't know. So maybe he just didn't fit. Did he not fit in the locker room, maybe? Or did he tell Mike Nolan to F off? I don't know. There's a lot of stuff in Dallas that just doesn't make sense anymore.
It's true.
Well, then again, when did it ever make sense? So, Kevin, I'll ask you quick before we get to some of the other stuff about the deadline. Do you think a big-name player from Dallas gets moved in the next week or so? Like a Zeke or a Cooper or a Gallup?
No, I don't think so. I think Jerry Jones, when he picks a guy and he goes, this is my guy, he's going to hold on to them way longer than he should. I think the Zeke contract shows that in Jerry Jones' mind, Zeke is his guy. The Cooper contract shows that Coop's his guy. Gallup, I can see Gallup, but he's not really one of their big names in my mind.
I could see them still moving Gallup. I feel
he's not one of the big names.
Oh, I know, but like the Dallas fans, he's a big name. So it's I don't know. It's like
I could see them moving Gallup. I think I don't know. This year probably not, but years past, if it was Dak was healthy, I could see them moving him. But now I don't think I think they might stand pat and just kind of hold on to their guys. Because I think Jerry Jones likes Gallup too.
Theory. Dak is back from his injury by probably praying for Dak, of course. Cavs let Dak walk. A certain team from the Northeast that has a quarterback problem because they just benched their starter this week and you're a certain fan of them gives Dak a call like, hey, how's the ankle feeling? I am all for Dak to New England if that happens, by the way. I think Dak, if they can get a weapon or two for him with Bill's system, because Dak's a smart quarterback. He's not an idiot. Like, the thing is, like, he's good. He's like Tom, where he has some physical limitations with his arm strength. But Dak's not a bad quarterback. He's not a bad leader. I think he can still have a little bit of the mobile stuff you have with Cam. But at the same time, Bill and Josh could definitely do something good with Dak Prescott, and he's young.
I think if they – because I have a feeling that this offseason, this is going to be the last season where we're going to see a lot of these guys in New England. I think Julian Edelman's probably gone after this year.
Come play in Philly. We need a slot receiver.
You don't want Julian Edelman.
I know. He's a nightmare.
He can't catch. They don't really have any weapons. There aren't – probably not going to sign a lot of guys. I don't know if they really want – to bring on Dak. I think they're going to, maybe not blow it up, but try to rebuild.
Alternate theory, quick, before we move on to some other stuff, quick, deadline trade news and rumors and stuff. Dak Prescott goes to a team that maybe couldn't get a high enough pick for a quarterback. So I'm not saying, like, you know, the Jets are probably getting top three. Cowboys are probably getting top 3, 5, 6. They'll probably get like a Fields or a Lance. But after that, the drop off in quarterback falls a little bit. I could so see a team like, let's say, like, I don't know, Jacksonville's like, hey, Dak, we'll sign you.
Dude, I can see Minnesota doing it.
They take a quarterback third or fourth round and say, hey, listen, we'll see what happens.
I could see Minnesota doing it. Depending on how Stafford's back holds up this year. Because I think if Stafford gets another back injury, he's probably done. I can see Detroit doing it if that happens.
I think Patricia would like that. I think the problem is, like, I would want to see, like, with a good salt, let's see how Swift develops. But at the same time, it's like, there's a lot of question marks for this offseason because we still have.
Also, don't you dare ever disrespect Mac Jones again.
Well, where's Mac Jones ranked right now per prospect? Like, where's he projected to go right now? I thought it was second, third round.
He should be second or third round. Quarterback ranks, according to Walter Football, that's what we're going to go with, I guess. That is this year's class. Or they just messed up. Yeah, this is this year's class. Never mind, not doing that one. My computer wants to stop sounding like a goddamn jet engine.
Oh, mine was like that when we do a sound off.
Yeah. Okay, I hate this ranking from what I've seen. Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance. There's 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Jamie Newman at 4.
Oh, God, really?
Kyle Trask at 5.
Oh, my God.
Zach Wilson out of BYU at 6. This has to be preseason. Kellen Mond at 7.
Oh, my God. No, why?
Brock Purdy. Yeah, this has to be preseason.
Yeah, no, because...
No. Ellinger's at 9. If it was preseason, he would have been higher. Matt Jones at 10.
Okay, so here's the thing. It's like, where is... I know how much you're not a big De'Ara King fan, but, like, he's almost had a... He's had a pretty good season. Jones should be 4. I put King at 5.
I'm not arguing that Jones should be ahead of Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, or Trey
Lance. No. I'm agree with you. I say Jones should be like 4 or 5, and behind him should be like King, and then you put in the Trasks and the Mons and these guys and Ellingers, the guys who have honestly their decision making is what scares me with these prospects. The one thing about King as a Canes fan is Rhett Lashley's gotten gun shy about throwing the ball deep, and King's got a freaking cannon. I don't know what the hell they're waiting on. But the thing is like with Jones, at least your boy over there in Tuscaloosa has let him sling it. So I don't know. It's gonna be weird for quarterbacks this offseason, I swear.
Yeah, I'm looking for our second Florida quarterback on here. Emory Jones is number 16. Sean Clifford out of Penn State at 17. Ian Book at 18. Lane Hatcher at 19. Chase Garbles at a Cal at 20.
Jesus,
they don't have King ranked on this.
I know. I can tell it's preseason.
No, it's not.
Wow. What website is this? This is atrocious.
Walter Football.
Oh, my God. I lost all respect for the quarterback rankings. Holy shit.
Let's go through. Let's look what CBS has. If I can rank it.
All right, well, you do that. Quick news. OBJ, by the way, was confirmed. Torn ACL out for the year. It sucks for Odell Beckham, who's finally starting to get, like, involved in the Browns offense a lot more. I'm hearing all these theories that, like, you know, Baker's going to play better without OBJ. Yeah, until they play a team with the number one corner who can just lock up Landry the entire game. So, that's fine.
This one's even worse.
What is with the quarterback evaluations? Kev, we should do our own. This is atrocious.
This one, yeah. This one, I think, might actually be, like, from the preseason. And they don't update it because it goes Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Brock Purdy, Kyle Trask, Sam Ellinger, Jamie Newman, Kellen Mond, KJ Costello.
KJ Costello's got benched, so he's definitely going to be preseason. Jesus. Also, sad note, me and Kev were, I was right next to Kev when he got his live reaction for this. Jalen Waddle is out for the season with a broken ankle. Prayers up for Jalen, arguably the best receiver in this class. Hopefully he makes a speedy recovery and he's ready for draft time, so.
They think he will be.
That's good news, honestly.
They say really 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay, so who knows, maybe back for playoffs, shit.
I don't know if they will be with the Rona and everything, I could see him not necessarily copying. I'd be like, look, I just broke my ankle. There's a pandemic. I'm just gonna work on myself.
You know, it's weird. Like, some of these Alabama boys, they're just built different, though, Kev. You know that as well as I do.
That's true. Okay, so we're gonna look at one more.
We're doing this. Quarterback rankings, this is like, we're gonna rank these, like, see how actually close they are.
Okay, Mel Kiper just picked his risers, and also I fucking hate Mel Kiper, so we're not going to talk about his. Also, ESPN has a paywall now, which is stupid. So this is NBC's top 5.
I have ESPN's paywall. You should just ask me to look it up.
That's fine. This is from October 25th.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence at 1. Justin Fields at 2. Lance at 3. Mm-hmm. No issues. Kyle Trask at 4.
He's not that good. I don't see it on film. He doesn't look that great.
No, he doesn't. And then honorable mentions because he only did top 5. Mac Jones, Jamie Newman has not played a snap for Georgia. Kellen Mond, Brock Purdy, and Sam Ellinger. Is Derek King draft eligible? Is he going to the draft?
Yeah, he's a 5th-year senior. I'd fucking hope so.
Look, if he goes undrafted, I would not be surprised.
But also, if he goes undrafted, like, he definitely could get picked up by somebody, because I feel like he's a good enough, at least as a backup or a gimmick quarterback.
He's, I feel like so he's not a good thrower. His arm strength's not very good. He's not that accurate. If you want to be a quarterback, you can't have both. You can have one or the other. Like, look at Tim
Tebow. I think he has an arm. The problem is he has an arm. After week three, they stopped slinging it. His accuracy is shaky. I will give you that. But he has a decent arm. He's a good arm. I will give him that.
Then he should have gone to a program that would let him show it off.
Or like Manny Diaz should pull. I mean, it's a bye week. Manny Diaz should pull Rhett last year's side. Be like, dude, for the love of God, start throwing it deep again. Our offensive line got their crap together. Come on, enough.
Yeah, I mean, I would not have King in that top five, like probably, that I just seven. Read.
Yeah,
I'll put have Mac Jones seven. At four. If you're gonna have Kyle Trask there, I'm gonna have him at four.
I would even take King over Trask. At least King knows how to freaking manage an offense. I mean, Ellinger, I get Ellinger. Yeah, he's from Texas, but the same as like, I don't. Like, when I look at Ellinger, I'm like, oh, God, I see a lot of potential, but at the same time, it's like, there's not a lot of wow there.
Which is why he's never going to be, like, in the top three quarterbacks, but I could see him being at five if the rest of the way he just shows he is consistent. Like, I feel like a lot of teams, if you're drafting in the top 10 to get a quarterback, you're going to want a wow factor. If you're drafting after that, you're going to go, just give us consistency.
You know, it's weird. Like, I'm still not sold on Justin Fields. We've already talked about that 1,000 times. I don't think you are either, right?
No, I have some of the same concerns as him that I do as King, but I think Fields is a little better thrower.
I think Fields' decision making is the problem. Whereas, like, his ability to read a defense just scares me. But then again, like, Patrick Mahomes couldn't read defense until year two. He admitted it. But at the same time, like, he also could throw a ball through the side of a barn door, not the other side, and it would still hit the receiver. So, I mean,
I think
I don't know. I quarterback class, because the only one who's like a solid, I love Lance. I love his tape. Lawrence, I'm not sold on his progression, but if he gets a coach who's going to drive him to develop better, then yeah, he's fine. I don't see any problems there.
I've actually seen some interesting things about Lawrence's progression. It's because I also had concerns about his progression, but it wasn't because when he came in, though, he was basically day one ready from a physical standpoint. And some of the stuff I've seen, it's all mental, his progression. He's gotten better at reading defenses, knowing when to get out of the pocket, sensing pressure. It's all small stuff that you're not going to see on ESPN.
Well, also, I hate watching ESPN anyway, but.
Well, no, but. And I'm not saying
for yeah, you, I know. But, like, stuff you're not going to see on highlight tape, this stuff you're going to see, like, on all 22 film.
Yeah, stuff you would see once you start doing your quarterback rankings and draft rankings.
Oh, that's going to be fun. I can't wait for that shit. Hopefully this year's not a – hopefully next March is not a pandemic, so I'm not trapped in my house watching film for 4 hours.
Oh, come on. You know that's your favorite time of year.
Oh, I know. Yeah, Kevin snaps me. What am I doing? I'm watching running back film. My TV and my Xbox here. It's just DeAndre Swift's tape. And I'm just like, oh my God.
I'll generally pick one guy at a position that I love every year. Usually they're Alabama guys, but like running backs last year, my guy was A.J. Dillon.
Oh, my guy was Taylor. I've been looking pretty good so far.
All right, that
my
went
guy,
off.
What?
That went off the rails.
Oh, I know. And my guy at receiver was Chase Claypool. Up until this week, I was doing pretty good. All right. Last call, because, you know, we're hitting the 52-minute mark right now. So, I got a little beef with the AP poll this week. Usually, I don't complain if my team's still in the top 15. But I'm really hating on this Notre Dame bias here. Y'all know I hate Notre Dame. They're the probably, except for Clemson and Florida State, they're there at three. You know, if as a Miami fan, Catholics versus convicts still hurts. I mean, the last time Notre Dame played us, they got their butt kicked and they ran with their tails between their legs. They haven't played us since. I really wanted to play them this year because, especially after Kevin picked them to be an ACC title game champion, I was like, oh, I want Clemson. I want Notre Dame so bad. And Miami is a flawed team by all accounts. They played Clemson hard. They could have easily taken the lead early. The refs didn't help, and their penalties didn't help. Notre Dame is absolute dog shit this year. Ian Book has fallen down my quarterback rankings like a lead balloon. I look at this roster, and they almost lost to Louisville. And it wasn't even like a high-scoring shootout. It was a just awful showing. What was it, 12-6 was the final count or something like that? I can't remember.
It was a bad game.
It was really bad. And then they almost lose. They smacked Pitt, but then again, I think Pitt's just dead in the water this year for program. They almost lose to Louisville. They go up two spots. Miami wins a rough game in the pouring rain against Virginia and drops a spot. I hate the AP poll. I hate the logic of it. That's all I gotta say. I wish there was consistency in it, but whatever. I mean, you'll see the teams fall off as the season progresses. We're only in week 6 right now, or 7. Also, Ohio State's going to absolutely smack the daylights out of Penn State this weekend, so.
I have no idea what week to refer to things as, because, like,
we're the I go by NFL weeks, and because, like, the college start, basically big college football started the same week. The only team that started early was Miami against FAU.
No, the whole ACC started a week before the SEC.
They started week 1 of the NFL season, right?
I believe so, because, like, this upcoming week for Clemson's week 7. For the SEC, for, like, Alabama, it's week 6. For Georgia, it's week 5.
I just go by the ACC, because they started the same week as they because remember, I had to borrow your YouTube TV to watch Miami on the big screen, and I used my NBC pass to use to get Texans Chiefs on the small screen. So, oh, by the way, it's official. Antonio Brown officially signed with Tampa Bay as of now, 5 minutes ago.
You gotta get those notifications up to date.
Well, no, like, literally, NFL official as of 5 minutes ago.
NFL
as in contract been signed.
Yeah, because I saw Shefty tweeted that, like, a couple hours ago.
Yeah, but the NFL just tweeted out 5 minutes ago, so. All right. Anyway, so, yeah, screw you, AP poll. You suck. I can't wait for the CFP poll. When that starts, what, week 8 or week 9, Kevin? Usually.
I believe week 8 or 9.
Okay, so hopefully in a week or two. I mean, my Canes got a bye this week, and then they got, I think off a bye they have like Virginia. They have like Virginia. They have somebody as a joke. They have a joke game next week. They don't play really a tough game again until North Carolina in the final week of the season. I also want to see how legit North Carolina is because they have almost lost a couple close ones. I don't know. The ACC is so weird this year. They have, like, 3 or 4 legitimately good teams. I mean,
which is weird for the ACC, yes.
Yeah, I know. But, like, they have, like, I mean, Notre Dame, North Carolina, Clemson, Miami. They're 4 legitimate teams. The rest of them are hot garbage. But, all right, so if I'm going to look...
First CFP rankings are in 3 weeks, by the way.
Thank God. All right, yeah, we play NC State. That's a bad... was that Friday? Shit. That's a loss. All right.
Friday games this season?
Yep. ACC Friday is my whole worst nightmare.
That's the schedulers going, yeah, we don't care about this team.
Yeah, no. Basically, every ACC team gets a Friday. Friday games are always a nightmare. It's in Charlotte too. All right, that's going to be a rough game. All right, pray for your boy next weekend. I'm Jared. That's Kevin. We'll see y'all Thursday. Live stream, 6:30, Twitter. Hey guys, Jared, thanks for checking out the Corner Booth Pod. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Corner Booth Pod. This podcast is brought to you by the Belly Up Podcast Network.